This is The Pillars of Bathurst with Dr. Robin McLaughlin and Brett Van Heekeren. The Pillars of Bathurst project is a cultural heritage memorial garden that commemorates past Bathurstians who've added something special to the story of Bathurst. These are their stories.
Welcome to another episode of Bathurst Pillars with Brett Van Heekeren and Robin McLaughlin. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Today we're going to learn about Annie Bertha Parry.
That's right. I thought I would tell our listeners about Annie Bertha Parry, who was born in Hill End in 1886. She was named Annie after her mother, but she later chose Bertha as her given name. Her father, Lloyd Parry, was Hill End's resident doctor, which may have influenced Bertha's choice of nursing as a career. Bertha had qualified as a nurse by 1910, and she would go on making the medical care of others the focus of her working life, and indeed as a volunteer for many years after her retirement in 1945. Bertha died in 1959. Now, Bertha Parry was nominated for a Bathurst Pillars plaque in 2019.
Rob, I'm assuming that Bertha Parry was nominated for a Pillars plaque because of her work in nursing?
Well, the short answer is yes, but her nomination came for the very special role she played in the field of first aid nursing. If I tell you she was nominated for her plaque by St. John Ambulance of New South Wales, you'll better understand that she approached nursing from a different perspective to many in her profession. When you next see a St. John Ambulance crew on duty at a sports meeting, or if you sign up for one of their first aid courses, you are a witness to something of the legacy of Bertha Parry in her work with the St. John Ambulance Association. This purposeful application of Bertha's nursing expertise came with her appointment in 1921 as the first full-time secretary of the New South Wales St. John Ambulance Association. When she took up this position, which was largely an administrative role, Bertha was only in her mid-30s and had only been a qualified nurse for about 10 years. She had, though, packed more experience in those 10 years than many would in a lifetime. She was a qualified surgical nurse and had worked as a hospital matron, plus a lot more. However, Bertha seems to have found her place to be, her nursing home, with St. John Ambulance. She would remain with St. John as their secretary until 1939 with the outbreak of the Second World War.
So what did she bring to such a well-established organization like St. John Ambulance?
Well, to be frank, the association when Bertha joined them was a somewhat moribund organization. St. John Ambulance greatly benefited from Bertha's enthusiasm and guidance, if though sometimes her views were rather bluntly delivered. If she didn't agree with a meeting's agenda, Bertha, as a secretary, would simply not attend the meeting. She would prove to be somewhat uncooperative. You don't mess with Bertha. But she got things done. She made a difference. Sister Parry, as she was known in the association, organized first aid courses statewide and wrote the essential first aid training manuals. She wrote first aid handbooks for the public. She pioneered the use of film and radio for educating people in first aid practice. Bertha Parry initiated useful relationships with other organizations, ranging from sporting bodies to the CWA, relationships that continue to this day. Her publicity campaigns brought public awareness for the association, while her fundraising work gained generous public financial support. In the 1920s and the 1930s, she raised the bar on the association's understanding of its role in the community, and in response, the community's respect and appreciation for the role of St. John Ambulance today owes much to the work of Bertha Parry. The seeds she planted have grown and flourished.
Did the association willingly accept all of her innovations?
Well, no. Some of her proposed innovations faced conservative opposition within the association. For example, in 1923, she tried to introduce a module in St. John first aid training courses in emergency childbirth procedure, specifically for people living in remote areas. She was not successful. It was considered unseemly. Remember, most first aiders at that time would have been men, and it was argued there could be legal consequences for the association if first aiders were taught midwifery. And although Bertha Perry lost that particular battle, you can see how far ahead she was in comparison to others. She saw a need to be met. Others worried about social convention and legal consequences. When war came in 1939, Bertha resigned from St. John's to fill the role of the state's women's training supervisor for national emergency services and continued in this role until her retirement in 1945. Bertha was rewarded the MBE in 1954. We could say more about Bertha's time with the St. John Ambulance, but I would like to tell you a little about a brief episode in her life, her trip to Alaska in 1919.
Alaska? That's a long way from here. And how did Bertha Perry come to find herself in that part of the world?
Well, it's a bit of a rambling story, but I will do my best to give the condensed version. We need to go back before her time with St. John Ambulance. Bertha was among the first nurses in Australia to embark in 1914 for overseas wartime service with the AIF. She nursed wounded Anzacs in Egypt and then accompanied the first hospital ship returning home in 1915 with wounded soldiers. Now, a romantic interlude. She fell in love with one of those returning wounded soldiers, and they married almost immediately on reaching Melbourne. Alas, the marriage failed, and within a couple of years, Bertha was seeking to regain her independence. She found it by leaving Australia in 1918 on her own to further her nursing skills in San Francisco. Now, I just need to say three words to set the scene. 1919, influenza, pandemic. In June 1919, a call was made in San Francisco for volunteer nurses to join a medical mission to Alaska following reports of devastation from the influenza in remote native villages. Our Bertha promptly joined a Red Cross team and within a couple of weeks was on board a U.S. Coast Guard ship, the Ungava, visiting Alaskan coastal villages, doing what they could to help people. Alas, there was not much that could be done beyond burying the dead and rescuing children, some of whom had sought safety on rooftops from packs of ravenous dogs. Bertha wrote a descriptive, horrific even, newspaper story on the Coast Guard's Mercy Mission. And perhaps one can see in her article the passion she would bring in her later work with another body of first responders, the St. John Ambulance. The key lesson that I think was learnt in Alaska was the need to provide a prompt response to a medical emergency. Right away, on the scene, when she took up a position with St. John Ambulance in 1921, that's just 2 years later, she set about putting that lesson into good effect.
So a very strong-willed and powerful woman was our Bertha Perry. Any final words about her?
Well, let me just quote the epitaph line on her plaque. In the service of humanity. This is the motto of St. John Ambulance, but the words equally belong to Annie Bertha Perry from Hill End. And we remember Annie Bertha Perry with a plaque on the Bathurst pillars.
You have been listening to one of the stories behind the Pillars of Bathurst, presented by Dr. Robin McLaughlin. This series was produced in the studios of 2MCE FM.